Welcome to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And my name is Sebastian.
And we are in fall season.
Are we?
Yeah. I mean, I was in a Dollarama recently, and I think they believe it's Christmas already? But Mariah Carey hasn't told me yet, so okay. It's... for me, it's still the fall, but, you know, folks are back in school, the leaves, they are a-changing. And,
Last time I was in a Dollarama, I didn't notice any of that, but I think the last time I was in a Dollarama, I was just thinking about how we haven't really updated how we make roads since Rome, and that Rome really figured out how to do the underlayer of a road correctly, and we should be thankful. Just in case you haven't thought about Rome today.
I know. Well, I mean, it is your Roman Empire, but the, it reminds me of that Monty Python scare. You know, what have the Romans ever done for us?
Education, medicine, infrastructure, aqueducts.
The roads.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And famously, Times New Roman. Okay. So, we are a gay news show talking about LGBTQ topics from coast to coast to coast and around the world. Bit of a slow week this week in terms of news. Pride is, broadly speaking, pretty wrapped up at this point.
Yeah, there's a few upcoming small town ones. I couldn't find any mention of Pride events this week anywhere in Canada, but it is Canada, so it's probably going to go on until the snow falls, which is, depending on where you are in Canada, anywhere from August to, like, January. Ottawa's weird for that, actually. The first snowfall of the year is usually in October, but it doesn't stick until mid-January. You could drive a bike until January if you wanted. You probably shouldn't, but you could.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, there was a Pride event this past weekend.
You found something I didn't.
In Pontclair, Quebec.
Okay.
On the Montreal West Island, specifically.
Oh, yeah, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, so Pontclair, Quebec was... it was home to the first gay married couple in Quebec. Some great coverage by the CBC there. And I think back in 2001, there was a big thing, and they all gathered there, and there was a wonderful show of support by the community around the time of this marriage in Quebec.
Okay.
And there has been nothing since. No pride, no annual gathering, no, hoopla to say. But it makes sense. Like, you know, if you want to go to Pride, go to Montreal Pride. And it's huge.
Pretty nearby. Yeah.
It's behemoth. But we're starting to see this trend, and we've seen it for a while, where smaller communities are splintering off to have their own more locally nuanced pride, where it's more about meeting your neighbors and not watching five banks march down the road.
So that is what a friend of mine refers to as an ROC phenomenon. ROC meaning rest of Canada, because Quebec really is basically its own country in some ways. For quite some time now, it's not that there haven't been other pride events in Quebec. It's just Montreal and Quebec City have been the big prides, and the whole small town pride phenomenon has sort of passed by Quebec. And I asked about that because my family's from Abitibi, from the Rouyn region, or Témiscamingue. Well, between Témiscamingue and Rouyn, it's like 200 kilometers apart, but in that part of Quebec,
what's 200 kilometers between friends?
Literally, once I was there and my dad was like, do you want to go for ice cream? And so we went to Val d'Or, which is like a 3-hour drive away, just to get ice cream. And then on the way back, pop in to see if his cousin is home or not. He didn't call ahead, which is what you would do. Because then if she was like, no, but I'll be there tomorrow, then you just go. Anyway, yeah, country folk. I love them, but they're different. Anyway. So I asked about that, like, why doesn't, you know, Abitibi, why doesn't Témiscamingue, why doesn't La Turque, why doesn't Val-d'Or, why doesn't Trois-Rivières have a pride? And, you know, in some ways the usual expected excuses would come up, you know, the population density isn't there, so that even if there were people who were interested in pride, there'd be like 10 of them. Maybe some of it is just like there's just no history of it. And getting anything off the ground for the first time is a challenge. And there's just a lack of motivation to be the person who does the first, especially when, like, Montreal is towering over you. And unless you're really inland, so, like, I mentioned Latuk, and Latuk is a little bit closer to the heart of Quebec, like, physically, geographically closer to the center. But most of Quebec is along the Ottawa River or the St. Lawrence Seaway. So a lot of people in Quebec, like, if you're in Témiscaming, or Témiscaming, Quebec, there's Témiscaming, which is across the river, and it's kind of a twin city. It's like the Ontario and Quebec side basically functions as one city, even though they're two separate municipalities. And then you just go a little bit further and you go to North Bay. So if you're in Témiscaming, Quebec, and you want to go to Pride, you just go to North Bay.
Yeah.
And the idea of, like, having... And North Bay is moderately bilingual already, so if you don't really speak English, you could still go to North Bay Pride and have an okay time. So there's just been this general feeling in Quebec of, like, we could do our own Pride, but we'd rather just go to Montreal or go to, you know, Hearst's in Ontario or something.
But we saw these massive Pride events, Montreal, Toronto, so on and so forth.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of a couple of years ago in Toronto, I think it was Queen Street West started to have its own Pride events to come up instead. And a lot of the communities in the GTA, Brampton, Hamilton, Minden, all of these places all started to have their own little Prides. And like I said, it's all about drawing together your neighbours and your smaller sense of community. It's worth noting for the West Island Pride event last weekend, the West Island LGBTQ 2+ Centre was the one that planned it.
Mm-hmm.
So you're talking about that lack of history, that lack of, you know, a lot of Pride events draw their track record out of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, where, you know, there was maybe initially a protest and the people have been consistently in the Pride protest and then parade ever since.
Yeah.
You know, that obviously didn't happen in the Montreal West Islands. You know, there was no protest there in the 70s that's carried on. So this service center is like, look, we're going to do a Pride event, but the purpose of this one is to gather our neighbours together, to celebrate our community, and just hopefully have a chance where we can connect with each other.
Well, that's the aspect. That's one of the reasons why you get things like, you know, Tweed, Ontario, population 4 people, or, you know,
I used to live in Tweed, Ontario. I was one of the 4 people, and I don't think they've ever had a Pride parade. Yeah. But, you know, I could see something like that. I think Belleville's had one, Prince Edward County's had one.
Yeah, you get these smaller towns, and a lot of them, their focus is more on the concept of Pride as the family picnic.
Mm-hmm.
The community gathering, getting people together, which is actually one of the reasons why... Well, Hamilton had its own Pride since the 90s.
Yeah.
But places like Milton, which is another suburb of Toronto, they started doing Pride because they realized...
Milton listeners are going to hate that.
I mean, it is now. Like, I grew up in the Burlington area.
Yeah.
So it used to be that, like, calling Milton a suburb of Toronto was just bananas because it was too far. But, like, it's just the footprint of Toronto has grown.
Exactly, yeah.
But anyway... a lot of people from the suburbs, when they went into Toronto Pride, they just felt like strangers.
Mm.
So a lot of them became more inspired to do their own local community events so that they could have that family picnic feeling of going to Pride and recognizing faces and being able to run into people you know and not being lost in the crowd. And that is a very large part of it. And I think that, I mean, you're talking about the Queer West when I was actually living in Toronto when that was first initiated. And a lot of that had to do with, like, queer versus gay, or, like, you know, the apolitical family picnic / party versus the political protest march. It was kind of, like, splintered off into two separate events. And the weird thing is that at least in that first year, following years not so much, but at least in that first year, people preferred it that way. To, like, you go to the... You know, you go to the street fair and the beer garden and the parties and people are just having a good time.
Yeah.
And the people who are just there having a good time are not getting underfoot of the people who are politically active, and the people who are politically active don't feel like their politics are being ruined by the partiers. It's just everybody sort of like doing their thing and that's fine. And honestly, like, Queen West is a 20-minute streetcar ride away from
The village.
The village. So yeah. Who cares? Like, you can do both. It's all good. But yeah, the small town prides is definitely leaning more on that. And I'm not sure why Quebec hasn't done that.
Well, Canada has more prides.
Some of it has to do with the Quiet Revolution, but I don't want to get into that because it's a complicated history and we're not supposed to talk about the Quiet
Revolution. It's very hush-hush.
Well, in French, it's tranquille, which means both like calm and also quiet. It was like the chilled out revolution.
Yeah. The laissez-faire revolution.
Well, no, because that means you're letting somebody else do it.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. Either way, you know, I think it's interesting, and it's good to see these things happening. You know, that community center was likely looking at that community and being like, "Look, we can fill a gap in the market here.
Fill a need.
You know, does that community in the West Montreal Island now have to figure out what kind of pro-Palestinian statement they should issue next year?
No.
Probably not. Yeah. You know, I think it's more about gathering your neighbors and, you know, having resources and a booth for the local public health department and, you know, get your Mpox vaccines here and what have you. I think that's more likely going to be the vibe moving forward.
There is, I mean, we've been sort of saying this for a while now, but the future of the Pride movement and of the community in general seems to be largely one of decentralization. It's not, in the Canadian context, it's not just going to be Montreal, Toronto, Vancouver with, like, you know, Ottawa, Winnipeg, and Halifax as sort of like the next three major cities. Like, we're sort of moving beyond that and just into this idea that it's okay to have a city of 50,000 people in Manitoba with a pride event. Like, it doesn't have to be that everybody books a ticket out to Edmonton, you know, to do something. You can have something a little bit more local than that. And that decentralization, it does mean that the pride movement is sort of less critical and more pedestrian. But I don't mean that as an insult. I mean,
I think it's safer. Pedestrianization of pride, the so-so and so-what of pride.
Yeah.
I'm here for it.
Yeah.
Let's make pride boring.
Yeah.
I can get behind that. Let's make pride boring again.
I want to go to Pride, and I want to have that booth that sells wind chimes, but also honey for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
I want that booth. I want that booth that you see at the country fair that's next to the place that sells... I would love to see funnel cakes at Pride. I can't eat them personally, but no. The day we see funnel cakes at Pride,
I don't think the gays would eat them. Carbs and sugars.
The bears would.
Yeah. Bears would love funnel cakes.
Yeah.
All right. We are keeping an eye on a number of other Canadian stories, including whether or not the Lacombe Panuka member of the Legislative Assembly will be joining the government caucus in Alberta. Specifically, MLA Jennifer Johnson was kicked out of the Conservative caucus initially because of derogatory remarks she made regarding trans students. She compared transgender children to feces in food, according to reports by the CBC.
Oh,
now, apparently people have said, you know, she's made amends, she's become accountable for it, things are better, or her comments weren't overly controversial to begin with.
Yeah.
You know, let's let sleeping dogs lie. It seems like there won't be a decision on whether or not this member of the Legislative Assembly of Alberta will be rejoining the government benches in the province until after the province rolls out its various trans policies this fall. It seems like they're waiting to see how the dust settles on those policies before potentially bringing back somebody that they removed on the grounds of transphobia. That and a few other Canadian stories that we will be keeping an eye on throughout the week.
And you're saying that was the Alberta Conservative Party?
Yeah.
Well done.
Yeah, forced them to be an independent. But we're talking years ago now.
Oh, okay.
And things have, you know, the public discussion on trans folks I think, has swung back the other way since then. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that is. We're playing This Old Town by Van Camp. It's from the album Diner Coffee. This is a great little bit of a country track for us now. It's Carmen Baglio, which is behind it. And that we followed up by Manual Expression by Miel Quinn, and we will be back just after.
You can hate the town but love the people in it. Run a mile and crawl across the finish. Don't let the voices get you down. This old town. Streetlights flashing off the 115. Used to be my welcome home, but now it's all I see. As the winter months arrive and you call it apathy, I fade away, I won't deny it. Snow bothers me. This old town has got them both of us waiting for the light at the seams. You can hate the town but love the people in it. Run a mile and crawl across the finish. Don't let the voices get you down. Second round is hard in the beginning. Fake a smile more exhausting by the minute. But it might be worth sticking around. This old town. Bus stop glass is shattered. What feels like weeks doesn't seem like much to you, but it means a lot to me. This old town has got them both of us waiting for the light at the seams. 'Cause you can hate the town but love the people in it. Run a mile and crawl across the finish.
Type of love, at least that's what I've been told. Apparently I don't love anybody, I'm so easy to fold. I've been stuck in a time loop for years, trying to make the same face. I'm supposed to know how to smile, supposed to understand. Is changing, I don't know what truth really is.
And welcome back to Can Queer, home of Canada's queer media. My name is Luke Smith.
And I'm Sebastian.
Are you aware of the Terragram Collective?
Terror.
Like fear and agony, unless like permaculture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sounds like an independent game.
Yeah. Like Bethesda's new Terragram Collective. No, that's not it. The Terragram Collective has been declared a terrorist organization by the British government.
Okay.
Meaning that anyone on this Telegram group, for our listeners, you're like, wow, Telegram, which one's which? So Telegram is the messaging app.
Yeah.
Right now, the CEO of Telegram has been arrested in France. Among other reasons, because Telegram, the messaging service, which is encrypted, broadly speaking, hasn't been overly efficient in corresponding to police requests.
Well, yeah, it is a right to privacy thing. Because I know that, because I couldn't remember, there's Telegram, there's a bunch of other apps that overlap. I believe Telegram is the one that, as well as being end-to-end encrypted, deletes all messages after a certain period. I can't remember if it's like after a day or after like 20 messages, but there's like messages get deleted. Yeah. So it is a way of having private communications. And some governments hate the fact that people can send messages between themselves without being spied on.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it can be used to organize terror plots, but some of it can also be used to organize Chechen
surprise
refugees.
Surprise birthday parties.
Well, I was going to say Chechen refugees escaping from Russia.
Or surprise birthday parties.
Because
either way,
there are actually organizations, you know, that are LGBT oriented that use apps like this, or Instagram as well deletes messages.
It's one of the most popular apps in both Russia and the Ukraine.
Okay.
Because it's encrypted, so the Russians and the Ukrainians can't see the messages.
Yeah.
You know, so it's a very popular messaging app. Apparently they have an extremely small number of staff,
mm-hmm.
which belays the size of it, given that it is one of the most popular apps in, I think, India, Pakistan, mm-hmm. Russia, Ukraine, all over the place. But it's also been used, as you mentioned, as a messaging tool by extremists. Now, the British government declared it a terrorist organization. There's been arrest. There are two people, Dallas Humber of Elk Grove, California, who's 34, and 37-year-old Matthew Allison of Boise, Idaho. They're facing about 200 years, potentially, 15 federal charges, including soliciting hate crimes, soliciting the murder of federal officials, and conspiring to provide material support to terrorists. So these two individuals joined this Telegram group back in 2019, and then they became the leaders of the group a few years later in 2022. The reason being, there was a vacancy because the leader at the time was arrested on terrorism charges. So, I mean, that's one way to move up in the company.
I see a pattern.
I can't
put my finger on what it is.
Yeah, it's called terrorism.
But I feel like there might be a pattern.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why we wanted to talk about this particular one is that they have been advocating for violence against the LGBT community as well. I think it was either Sweden or Norway. There was one case in 2020, I believe, where they could draw the line to this specific group.
I think it was the one in Norway.
It was actually the 2022 Slovakia shooting. So that that particular shooting resulted in the death of Juraj Vankulovic and Matus Horvath. I apologize for my pronunciation of these Slovakian names.
Mm-hmm.
But it has been, those murders have been classified as an act of hate-inspired terrorism. So the shooter, who is 19-year-old, I won't reveal his name just because I don't want to name the particular guy. He was an active member of the Terragram Collective. He put the reading by the leadership of Terragram as your sort of must-read need documentation. And yeah, so this particular group have been tied to a number of terrorist initiatives and attacks. They apparently use the group to distribute materials for how to build a bomb, how to potential assassination targets, instructions for planning and executing terrorist attacks. And as I said, it has been directly linked to the 2022 terror attack on the Slovakian gay bar, resulting in the death of two at the time. So this group has been very active, yes, in inciting the violence against the LGBT community. Not just the LGBT community, people who are politically non-aligned, you know, queer organizations in mm-hmm. particular. Yeah, this is great news that at least two of them have been arrested. Now, anyone in this group in Britain is it can be charged with terrorism offences, as it is a terrorist organisation in the UK. We are going to look into it to see where it's designated in Canada. I wasn't able to find that information at the tip of my fingertips, but yeah, it's certainly a highly concerning story that we... keeping an eye on.
There are times where I read the news and just from things that I've read, it seems like, you know, Canadian law enforcement is still grappling with the fact that the internet exists at all. It feels kind of a little behind the times sometimes when you read about Canadian law enforcement in a digital context. And then other ways ahead of the curve. It's so split. But yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if we don't have any particular policy, at least nothing that we didn't just copy paste from England, just cheat on their homework. We cheat on England's homework a lot.
We cheat on a lot of homework, like, let's be honest.
Yeah.
All right, I want to move on to a conspiracy theory that's proven to be a little bit pricey. There were two women in France who firmly believed, not just believed, but deemed it their responsibility to tell anyone who would sit still long enough of this conspiracy theory. Now, this conspiracy theory is that Lady Brigitte Macron, who is the First Lady of France, it is the wife of Emmanuel Macron, the President of France, is actually secretly her brother Jean-Michel Trognon, and is a man.
I mean, part of me is just like, okay, well, that's stupid. Part of me is also like, that's kind of a stretch on the term conspiracy theory. That's really just a weird accusation.
Well, apparently in this conspiracy, Brigitte is actually her brother, Jean-Michel, and transitioned to be a woman in order to become the wife of the French president. Now, let me be absolutely clear here.
Weren't they married for like...
Yeah, they've been married a long time.
Yeah.
The First Lady Brigitte Macron is not a man.
Okay.
Is a woman.
Okay.
The First Lady of France is also not secretly her brother, pretending to be a woman to marry the France. In fact, there was her brother actually spoke at the trial to provide proof that this is outrageous. Candace Owens